Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Back right here on Sports for an hour number two of the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on a Monday morning. And let's talk a little college football here because it was a huge weekend of college action. Perhaps no result bigger, though, than the number 7 Cincinnati Bearcats going to number 9 Notre Dame and getting the win 24-13. They won the first half 17-0, and they were able to control the football game from there, Donnie. And the Bearcats look like they have a clear path to the college football playoff.
Yes, they do, and they certainly deserve it because you're taking a look at the 2 games that they had to win. They have now won, and the showcase game was beating a top 10 Notre Dame football team in their own building. Ritter was sensational. When you talk about, 17-0 at the half, let's try to hold on for a victory. Cincinnati did not do that. Ritter was fantastic on that last drive to sort of, cap the game at 24 points, 17-13 was getting a little bit too close. They didn't say, let's run the football, Kevin, and see if we can squeak this out. They got offensive and pushed the football downfield. Now, hear me out on this. I was actually hoping because Cincinnati's probably going to make their way into the playoffs, which is great, and I think they deserve that at this point. But I was really hoping that maybe Clemson or a Pac-12 team could keep them out. And not because I don't want to see Cincinnati in the playoff and not because I don't think they can actually win a playoff game or be competitive. It was the fact that that would have been the guard where they're talking about negotiations right now in college football. Hey, let's hold off and not add, another 10 teams to the playoff or make it 8 or 12 teams or whatever they want to do with it. But I thought this might have been the year where Cincinnati would run the table and finish 5th overall in the standings, clearly knowing they should be in it. And that might be the thing that knocks down that brick wall of 4 teams and adds 8 to 12 teams. But it looks like now with the Pac-12 can't get out of its own way, and the ACC just looks downright terrible across the board, this might give Cincinnati that automatic berth in the college football playoff. Would be fantastic for that university, but I was hoping that Cincinnati would be the team that finally overturns the institution of we only need 4 teams in the playoff.
So the interesting thing is, Donnie, as they secure the biggest win in their program history, is I still think you might get your wish here. You watch some of the movement here in the AP top 25, and all of a sudden, look who's 7th, Ohio State. The Big Ten is going to get a team into the college football playoff. Bama and Georgia might as well sim the rest of their season. They're both already into the college football playoff. So now Cincinnati is going to have to hold off Oklahoma, if not watch the Big Ten get multiple teams in. I'm very interested to see what they do with make the college football playoff odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook when they are reposted, because Cincinnati has a schedule where they can go unbeaten, but they absolutely must. And no matter what anybody says, that is still a difficult thing to do. And here's the other thing. And I promise you this is not sour grapes over Cincinnati beating Notre Dame. I'm not sure how good Cincinnati is. And the problem is a lot of people will try and say, what? Except all of you out there don't think Notre Dame is any good anyway, right? Notre Dame, fraudulent. They were never a top 10 team. Maybe you're right. But again, what does that say about Cincinnati? You know who's also not good? Iowa, I don't know. Indiana is not good, right? That Indiana team, the other big win on this.
Yeah.
Indiana's terrible, horrible, so bad. Indiana played Iowa. Indiana played Penn State. Both of those teams looked way better than Cincinnati did when they played that Hoosier team there, Donnie. I am not so sure that this is a Bearcats team that will go unbeaten, and I'm not so sure the resume will stack up to Power 5 conference champions. As we bring the radio audience into the fold and appreciate all those who are listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here on a Monday morning. But I'm not so sure Cincinnati is still going to be able to get their way into that top 4.
Yeah, you know what the interesting team is? Because you take a look at Iowa, number three, good football team. Penn State, number four, good football team. Ohio State, number seven, good football team. Michigan, nine, good football team. The reason why I brought all four of those teams up, Kevin, that's the Big Ten. They're going to knock each other off, but you're right. How are you going to have a one-loss Big Ten champion here saying, all right, well, we beat the three team, we beat the six team. Yeah, we lost to the four team, but we're a good team, and let's see if we can try to keep us out. Which brings into Oklahoma, who we're seeing skate week to week here, but they're still picking up victories. Let me tell you something right now. As much as, you know, the rest of the nation gets mad, oh, Oklahoma and Texas are leaving from the SEC, let's see this argument. Oklahoma wins the Big 12 and is unbeaten, but Cincinnati wins the AAC. No shot. Unbeaten, there's no way they're getting in ahead of Oklahoma. No
Correct.
Shot.
No shot. Absolutely no shot. And here's the other thing. OU gets to play, at least right now, a ranked Texas, and then Oklahoma State will probably still be ranked by the time they see them. Cincinnati doesn't play. Like SMU is 24. We'll see if SMU is still 24 when they play. I don't think the opponents are there. And here's the other thing as well. I'm not sure Oregon should be dead in the water. It's out. Look, the AP poll needs to call Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, and get us a couple of votes here to sort this thing out. What is Ohio State doing in front of Oregon? What's that? Like, what does that mean? How does that work? That makes no sense. That makes absolutely no sense. Like, it's just ridiculous. But I'm not sure Oregon's dead in the water, Donnie. They go out there, one loss Pac-12 champion, and the one loss is to Ohio State, and that team's eliminated from contention? How?
I don't know. It's a very good point that you bring up, and we're going to see it fizzle out. The only thing, Kevin, that we need more teams in the playoff. Come on.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Oh, and the only thing I will say is there are some people who say we don't need more teams. We only need two. Alabama and Georgia absolutely just massacred a couple of top 15 teams. Arkansas could still be on that field. I'm not sure they would score against Georgia. And Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, brother, I don't know about any popcorn there. That was really, really bad. Those two teams rule. We're talking more NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid on a Monday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. And the question that is posed now, who is the best team in the AFC? The Kansas City Chiefs score 42 in Philly. The Bills pitch their second shutout of the season. And the Baltimore Ravens take out the unbeaten Denver Broncos. So, Donnie, as we look at these three games, we could break them all more down individually, but I'll start here with the question. Who is the best team in the AFC?
Right now, after 4 weeks. Now, also, obviously, we're not really done 4 weeks. And the reason I bring that up, because the Vegas Raiders are sitting there at 3-0, and also the Los Angeles Chargers sitting at 2-1. They're going to do battle tonight. So there's a little bit left up in the air. But I would have to say right now, if I had to pick a team who's playing the best, who I think is the best team, it would be the Buffalo Bills for me. Impressive victories. Did they beat some bad teams? Yes, but they eviscerated three straight teams right in a row. And still, I'm going to talk about this game one between – I have no idea how the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Buffalo Bills in game one, but they did. But here we go in the AFC North. The 3-1 Bengals, the 3-1 Ravens, the 3-1 Cleveland Browns, who won with defense on Sunday as they took on the Minnesota Vikings. AFC South, good luck with that. We'll see those guys battle all throughout the season, but nobody in that division is nearly at the top or the cream of the crop. And then you get out west. Look at these football teams. As I just said, 3-0 Raiders, 3-1 Broncos, 2-1 Chargers, 2-2 Chiefs. The Chiefs are at the bottom of the totem pole. Did you see them yesterday in Philadelphia? Right now through the quarter pole, I'm going with the Buffalo Bills, but there are so many good football teams in the AFC that can claim those rights.
And the AFC is absolutely loaded, but as this question still stands here, to me the answer is the Kansas City Chiefs. And you saw the offense just go out there and do whatever they wanted against the Eagles. And look, you could have your takes about this Eagles defense here. seven drives, six touchdowns on the road is absolute ridiculousness. Patrick Mahomes is going to break the touchdown record this season. I'm almost certain of it, as he's got 14 through the first 4 weeks. You add the additional game on, and it feels all but a guarantee. The thing that people would say in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs is their defense. Give me the Bills' defense over the Chiefs' defense. Give me the Ravens' defense over the Chiefs' defense. And you're not wrong about those takes, but I think the question should be posed in a different way. See, I think the question more so is, give me the defense that doesn't have to stop Patrick Mahomes, because that's what the Bills are faced with. That's what the Ravens are faced with. And ultimately, I just don't want to go against Mahomes when they need to stop here. Now, I know people say against the number and this, that, and the third. And that's all fine. But we finally saw them break through with a cover here, Donnie. 42-30, they beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Mahomes throws five touchdowns. And the Eagles' offense looked pretty good for a lot of this football game. Just nowhere good enough.
It felt like a Chiefs blowout. And obviously the Philadelphia Eagles scored with 4 seconds to go, which I really liked as a second half touchdown pass, where Jalen Hurts, who should have had multiple second half scoring touchdown passes, but they were called back here. But you have to look at this game as a whole. The Eagles were in this and had a lead in this football game and were close at the half and were close in the third quarter. But it doesn't feel that way when you take the Chiefs. And Kevin, this is what we talk about so many times, where we are handicappers, we are bettors. And you sort of scratch your head, because the rule of thumb coming into yesterday, what we heard was, it was like, you know, a year and a half since the Chiefs won a game by more than 6 points. So wait a second. They score on every possession versus every team. How come they're not catching teams and pounding them by 28 and 30 points? Because the defense is very porous. So when you did look at that game yesterday, nobody punted. You know, they scored on every drive except for the one interception by Patrick Mahomes over the middle. But outside of that, there was no slowing down the Chiefs. And you're right, 90% on third down, you're happy with like 35% conversions on third down. If you can't get off the field against the Chiefs, you can't stop them. And it comes up with the same adage. Even though they finally covered against the spread yesterday, Kevin, every single week that you say, you know what, I'm going to bet against the Chiefs, it's one of those games that I joke about. You bet the game, you watch the kickoff, you turn it off, and you go out and walk your dog, and you come back later and check your watch or you check your iPhone and say, what was the final score of this game? Because it's so painful to watch when you know first and 20s, second and 17s, they don't matter for the Chiefs. They are automatic conversions. You just need some missed extra points, some missed field goals, or some freak turnover plays to try to stop the Kansas City Chiefs on offense.
They are just a machine. And the beautiful thing is they play Buffalo this coming week easily. Game of the week. We'll talk more about the Bills in a minute. I do want to just quickly on the Eagles here. I now, of 4 weeks through the year, 50% of the time, my favorite yards bet of the week has been the Jalen Hurts over passing prop. And I might just do this until they fix the number. The number was 235.5. He threw for 387 yards. At this point, I'm bothered that I'm leaving money on the table here, because the plus money abound of, you know, for 300 yards on the alt props here, the numbers are preposterous. He's had seven games in his career that he has started and finished, and he has thrown for over 300 yards in five of them. This is who Jalen Hurts is. He throws for big-time yardage right now. If they're trailing, they trust Hurts. He threw the ball 48 times. Miles Sanders, I thought, was going to get the football and get it all the time in this game. He had the ball seven times, and it didn't work also. He only had 13 carries on the seven attempts here. This is Hurts' offense. This is Hurts' team. If the passing prop is anywhere under 250, back at the window, betting it over again, no matter who the opponent is at this point in time. To circle back to the Buffalo game here, though, Donnie, because all in all, look, their offense was whatever. They were playing just the Houston Texans team where they could move the ball. I do think Josh Allen being second right now in MVP voting is preposterous. I wouldn't put him inside my top five right now. He is not having that kind of a season. But okay, whatever. That's besides the point here. I don't know what to make of the defensive performance that they put forward here. One of the biggest mistakes perhaps in my life is not betting the Texans to be the lowest scoring team this week at plus 750. Maybe the easiest plus 750 bet in NFL history. Davis Mills had 87 yards, four interceptions, and I don't even know if that really tells the story, Donnie, of how bad the Texans were. Oh, and by the way, they had extra prep time for this game coming off of Thursday Night Football.
Absolutely brutal. And they actually got a break early on where they picked off a pass from Josh Allen. Like, oh, look at this. Maybe they're going to be on the ball. But this game got out of hand, and it was a slow burn. Right, this wasn't like they jumped out 21-0 in the first half, put on cruise control, dropped 7 in the first quarter, 9 in the second quarter, only 3 in the third quarter, then 21 in the fourth quarter. And the premise of this football game was you're getting, by game time, 17 and a half. And I was posing this, doing multiple shows, Kevin, saying, all right, let's get to something straight here. Let's see if the Houston Texans are down 20 points with 2 minutes to go. Do you think that Davis Mills and this offense can go 75 yards in 3 minutes when it doesn't matter? And my answer was a resounding absolutely not. Did I think they were going to get shut out in this football game? No, I didn't. But it was apparent after that first quarter, you said, now, wait a second here. Not only getting first downs, because also taking a look, let me just see what the total statistics in this game. There we go. The question was, for me, could they get to 10 points? But more importantly, could they get even 10 first downs, Kevin, in an NFL game where they got beat by 40 points? They got 6 of those. They went 1-9. We talk about going 9 of 10 on third down with the Chiefs. They went 1-9 on third down. But keep in mind, 6 first downs in an NFL football team and getting shut out. This is the Texans team that we expected before the season started.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tyrod Taylor also is going to finish top 5 in my MVP ballot at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea how this team moved the football with him. Let me also just say, again, the unders on this show have been kind of some of my favorite thing. Two of Donnie's unders that have both hit have involved Bills games where the Bills have scored a combined 75 points, and both games have been dead unders. That is just tremendous, tremendous action that you love to see. A couple more big games that I want to talk about here from the Week 4 slate. We'll expand a little bit on Denver. Did they get their card pulled with a step up in class? Or does the Teddy Bridgewater injury erase the whole thing? I don't know. We'll talk about it next right here.
Giving you your
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. A lot of games that I still want to make sure we get to here. Let's start in Denver, Donnie. Baltimore wins this game 23-7. You tell me, what's the bigger story? Baltimore going to Denver and getting a dominant win like this, or the Broncos having a step up in class and losing in such fashion?
I think it's the Baltimore Ravens picking up a victory going into Denver against an unbeaten team. And I know that the Denver Broncos have not started the season, you know, with a dominant schedule, to say to speak. And basically everybody looking after game, like, you know, it's a good chance Denver Broncos going to be 3-0 before they play the Ravens. But the fact that they were able to go down 7-0 in this football game, being the Ravens, and come back with 23 straight unanswered points, Lamar Jackson on the road, 316 yards passing, one touchdown, no interceptions for a passer rating of 96. That's exactly what you wanted. And also, Kevin, from a Ravens perspective, you went on the road, played a really good defense, and it wasn't Lamar just saying, well, I got to run 15 times for 100 yards if we're going to move the football. They moved the football through the air against a good team. That is a big-time win for the Ravens, and it seems like one of those teams that we were writing off with the injuries here. Now they sit at 3-1 on the season. Tyson Williams wasn't even active for this game yesterday. So now you're running with the backfield where Latavius Murray gets 18 carries and Le'Veon Bell with 4 carries and Devontae Freeman. It's like the three amigos back there, all of them older than the other one. And Tyson Williams, who's like, wow, he's going to be a really good back when you watch him opening night, didn't even make the trip, basically, because he was inactive.
So I think the Baltimore Ravens obviously deserve a lot of credit here. Down 7-0 in this game, pitching the shutout in the second half. But that was all Drew Lock. And that is really interesting to me about Denver. I will say on the Lamar thing, Donnie, one of the target props we talked about was the Lamar passing number. Due to injury and opponent, it was under 200. threw for 316. That number needs to be adjusted. Lamar is throwing the football way better this season, at least, or he's throwing it more often, whichever you want to choose. We're seeing a lot more for Lamar in the throwing game. But Denver becomes fascinating to me, Donnie, because I think there will be Broncos fans who probably say, oh, a different game if Teddy stays in. He played the whole first half. It was 17-7. I'm not sure that's a different game if Teddy stays in. Enters concussion protocol, and they've got a big game next week against a Pittsburgh Steelers team that looks as vulnerable as the NFL has to offer. But if that's a Drew Lock start game, the expectation will be for Pittsburgh to win. In fact, it's in Pittsburgh. They very well could be dogs going against the Steelers if Teddy is their quarterback here. All of a sudden, they drop two in a row. Then there's a Raiders game. Then there's a Browns game, because every schedule in the NFL is impossible here. And all of a sudden, that 3-0 start just evaporates, Donnie.
No, it certainly does. And you could say to yourself, because Teddy Bridgewater is usually a covering machine. Now, they were down 17-7 at the half. The Ravens looked like they were the better team through and through. But now you're saying, what does it take to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers if we look forward to the next week? Well, it's probably going to take just steady quarterback play. Let the Steelers make their own mistakes, because they are horrendous on offense. But now you enter Drew Lock into the equation, who's so talented with his arm strength. Drew Lock reminds me a lot of Zach Wilson. You see the arm strength there, maybe some of the decision-making, but keep in mind, Drew Lock is no longer a rookie here, and Zach Wilson is. So now you have a rookie-ish type quarterback, at least mentality, for Drew Lock going on the road. It's not conceivable he throws 2-3 interceptions against the Steelers, and that's the reason why the Steelers stay in the football game, where Teddy is very steady, saying, all right, I'm not going to make the mistake. I'm going to make some plays with my feet. I'm going to check down to my running backs. I'm going to check down to my tight ends when the deep ball isn't there, where Drew Lock saying, hey, YOLO, let's go deep every play. And sometimes that doesn't work out. Sometimes you get some big plays. But you're right, for the future of the Broncos, it should be Teddy Bridgewater for this season, where they can try to make the playoffs. But in this game here, I'm not so sure. You're right, Kevin. It mattered. Who was a quarterback? The Ravens were the better ball club yesterday.
I want to move over to those Pittsburgh Steelers, who, again, we'll see Denver next week. 27-17, Green Bay wins. This is a game that I needed to see a Pittsburgh cover. Just a cover. Winning is very difficult at Lambeau Field, to prove to me that there was anything here. The interesting thing is, Donnie, they might have been able to nab a little bit more than that if a blocked field goal to end the half that was scooped and scored would have been able to stand. They call Hayden for offsides. I don't know if he was offsides here, Donnie. I do know that this Pittsburgh offense is still horrifying to watch. And because of that offense, as you warned me, and I didn't bet it, because of your warning sign, went under the number.
Yeah, and it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're a tough watch on offense. And you say, wait a second here. They got the touchdown. They actually up 7-0 at the end of the first quarter on that nice pass to Deontay Johnson, who finished with 9-for-92 and a touchdown on that 45-yarder. But there was nothing really the rest of the game that you can even cheer about, I guess, until the fourth quarter. It was the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. It was Big Ben being immobile in the pocket here. It's Najee Harris getting every single snap, it seems like, out of the backfield. But somehow we just can't use the kid in just the right situations, because we drafted him to fix our running game, even though our offensive line is what would propel our running game. And we changed everybody up and somehow got worse from last year to this year. The Steelers are in a bad way. They're 1-3 right now. I see Big Ben, you know, talking on the podium. Hey, you know, we'll get it together. There's no quit in this locker room. I think everybody around the Pittsburgh Steelers has quit on them, maybe except the guys in the locker room, because we see it week in and week out. This was supposed to be reinvigorated Ben this year. Drop weight, you know, restructure my contract. I want to show the Steelers that I can play a couple more years here in the NFL. My arm feels fantastic. New offensive coordinator. Everything new on offense except old Big Ben. They lose that game 27-17, and quite frankly, it didn't even feel that close at some points in this one, because you never got the feeling that Big Ben in that offense could push the football downfield. Chase Claypool misses the game. You're still able to move the football somewhat here, but not good enough, Big Ben. You can't have a QBR 43.7 in this game. 5.8 yards per pass attempt. That's what gets you in trouble. Come on, Ben. Throw it downfield. Maybe you can.
Remember when the Jaguars beat the Bills and then went 1-15? Or, excuse me, rather, they beat the Colts. Like, the Steelers are giving me the same vibes here. Like, they're not going to go 1-15, but this team's terrible. They're not good at all. The offense is atrocious. And, again, you know, what we keep doing, right? You go through all these schedules here, and you try and see if things will kind of break free, and they won't. Their adjusted win total was 6.5 entering this week. And it's just going to keep getting lower and lower and lower. And we know that this is the last year for Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. And again, it really would not shock me if he retired in the middle of the season. It legitimately would not. It makes no difference to their win total. I just want to know, Donnie, what happens with Mike Tomlin. He's still a relatively young coach. This will be the first time he ever finishes under 500 in his career. But every single year, he is on the hot seat. Every single year. But he's also had to coach Big Ben every single year. They've never given him the chance to reassess and retool. He's drafted other guys. But again, Big Ben has outlasted all of them here. That becomes the interesting thing to me, is to see if there starts to be some of the smoke, Donnie, around Tomlin, if all of a sudden he could lose his position here with Pittsburgh.
It's interesting because I'm not the biggest, you know, game day advocate for, you know, taking a look at the coaching situation with Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. But I have to say, he's a guy that any organization would want as their front guy. Like, when you hear him talk, you could just tell he's a leader of men. He has that locker room. And even though bagging on Mike Tomlin, who's won a lot, he's got a Super Bowl, I understand that. But he also has a Hall of Fame quarterback for most of his career here, Ben Roethlisberger, even though he's really fell off the past two seasons. But the fact that he kept Antonio Brown under wraps all those years and kept him in line. Then you saw the minute he got out of the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, ownership and coaches, he just went wild out there in Oakland and New England. And, you know, looks like he's righted the ship under Tampa Bay under Tom Brady. But I love Mike Tomlin as an overall coach, like the CEO guy. I'm not calling the plays. I'm not calling the defense. I'm just making sure my football team is ready to play each and every Sunday. If he were to leave the Steelers, which I don't think he will, he would get snapped up in a heartbeat by another organization looking to reset the foundation. But sometimes maybe you're only as good as your Hall of Fame quarterback is, Kevin. Case in point, Bill Belichick. Mm. Offense don't look so great. Team doesn't look so stunning now without the single greatest football player of our lifetime under the helm, who's now on another team winning Super Bowls. How much devastation is that, Kevin, right? You say, hey, Bill Belichick's the best of all time. Well, let's just take away his quarterback and keep him the same. They stunk last year. Brady won a Super Bowl. Case in point.
Not wrong. Certainly not wrong. And again, I don't think, man, I saw people saying Bill Belichick had a good game yesterday. Hey, they aired a different game on your TV than mine. I know that. Let's quickly talk Cleveland, Minnesota here. I tell you what, Don. I don't know what you want me to make of this game here. One of the worst live bets I have made in my entire life was the second half over here. 3 points. And they were lucky to even get that. 14-7, your final score in a game that had a total of 51. Wow. I don't know what you want me to say here, Donnie. Baker Mayfield, 15 of 33, 155 yards. That's the stat line of the winning quarterback in this game.
Yeah, stat line of the winning quarterback in this game, maybe if you were playing, I don't know, the Miami Dolphins 2 weeks ago or the Houston Texans, but the fact that you gave that stat line there, and they beat Minnesota, and oh yeah, it was on the road against a Minnesota team with Kirk Cousins that was lighting up the world on offense. How about this? The Cleveland Browns won a football game because of their defense, Kevin. We've asked the question the past 2 weeks. What are the Browns' defense? They stink. They play a bad team. They might actually be a really, really good defense that's leaning on the running game on offense. I did have a long shot chance here on Sunday. I picked it with the FanDuel Sportsbook, one of those match bets, and it was over 100 yards or more for Nick Chubb. He got 100. And, though, Kevin, to score a touchdown. Let me tell you, when Kareem Hunt was getting carry after carry on the goal line,
change it up.
Listen. It looks like Kareem Hunt is tired. Bring in Nick Chubb. I didn't get it home, but I got to tell you, that's a big-time win for the Browns, not because it was pretty, but because they didn't play well and still got the W.
All right, look, I had the Nick Chubb anytime touchdown score. I don't know if this makes no sense. They paid Nick Chubb. They hate Nick Chubb at the same time. How is that possible? He's like clearly their best running back. They give him the ball in only disadvantageous spots. They're running play action with Baker Mayfield. They go, ah, you know what? We should run the ball. Let Kareem Hunt pound it in. It is a nightmare scenario. I lost my mind. We have a couple more Week 4 games to get to, plus a Monday Night Football preview. That's all next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back right here on the Early Line and Monday Night Football preview right around the corner. But there is one more game that I wanted to bring up, and that is the Cowboys-Panthers. 36-28, Dallas Beach, Carolina. Dak Prescott, 4 touchdown passes. The game was 36-14 until a couple of not really all that important DJ Moore touchdown passes come in, as he did have 2. Sam Darnold threw for 2, ran for 2. A wild day from him for fantasy players or prop players, no doubt about it. The game gets over the number. Dallas covers, Donnie, and they move to 3-1.
You know how easy it is to win in the National Football League when you can do this? 34 carries, 245 yards, 7.2 yards per carry, and 1 touchdown. It's pretty easy to move the football when you dominate like that. 36 points by the Cowboys. Dak Prescott goes for 188. He does throw for the 4 touchdowns, which is interesting, which gave him a passer rating of 130. But this game, you know, a little bit closer. Look at Sam Darnold. And I want to talk about him for just a second here in this game and the whole scheme of his career, where he couldn't get out of the way with the New York Jets. Again, the Jets had 0 talent on offense and maybe one of the worst head coaching hires in Adam Gase that we've seen over the past 25 years in the NFL. He immediately goes on the road and all of a sudden he picks up Michael Vick tendencies here. 6 carries, 35 yards and 2 scores. And he looks fast when he runs. He accounted for 4 touchdowns in this game, and yet they still lost 36-28. And it really felt like more opposed to 14 points here being in the fourth quarter. Dallas looks really good. Their defense is playing well. Oh, not to give up 28 points. It was a blowout. 14 points in the fourth quarter didn't mean anything here. Dak Prescott played within himself, only 188 yards passing, as we said. But how about Ezekiel Elliott slimming down in the offseason? Hey, Big Ben, you slim down, you can't perform. Now Ezekiel Elliott got 20 carries for a 143 and a touchdown. And I keep on saying one of the best kept secrets, I don't know, in the National Football League is the rushing prop for Tony Pollard. If you could tell me he's going to get at least 7 to 10 carries every week and you keep posting him up in the 30s, it's hilarious, as he got 67 yards on the ground for 6.7 yards per carry. Think about that again, Kevin. Dallas ran for 7.2 yards per carry, not Philadelphia Eagles style getting 3 carries total for the game. 34 carries. Amazing stuff by the Cowboys. Maybe they're good. And if things went their way opening night, they would be 4-0, and maybe we'd be talking about the Dallas Cowboys as the best team in the NFC.
I know for a fact that they are the best team in the NFC East. That's for sure. The offense is too efficient, and the defense apparently is just going to make plays pillar to post here. Donnie and I are going to go back and forth on this thing. Trayvon Diggs needs to be way higher in odds to win Defensive Player of the Year. We're 4 weeks into the season. He has 5 interceptions. The last time, so Xavien Howard had double-digit interceptions last year. That was the first time since 07 we saw a player do that. Trayvon Diggs at this point is going to be favored to have double-digit interceptions here with essentially the entire season in front of him. He is a Dallas Cowboys player. Look, Myles Garrett is the favorite. Okay, fine. What is T.J. Watt doing in front of Trayvon Diggs? That's just absolutely not a thing. It really is not. Diggs is going to make a legitimate push for that award here. And I think Dak also has a legitimate shout to make a push for MVP. The narrative is just too easy. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I know for a fact it's right there for the taking. When you look at a team last year that was under 500 without him, obviously, and offensively was just nowhere near the same, him coming back in and having this team blow through the NFC East and potentially get a top 3 seed in the conference is going to give him a legitimate shout. I want to make this one last point here on this game before we get to Monday Night Football, and it's on Sam Darnold. The final numbers look phenomenal. 300 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. They got behind, and he started to turn the football over. I am waiting to see how this season progresses for Darnold. I am not a Darnold believer. And all of a sudden, the defense wasn't having their best day because they played the best offense they've seen, bar none, all year. And Darnold started to turn it over. Again, final numbers look great. Phenomenal, right? But that game turned as he started to turn it over. 2 meaningless touchdowns for me, Donnie, will not erase the final picture here. I am still curious about whether or not Darnold's the guy for Carolina.
Yeah, we are. We're going to, and the jury's still out here. But also, you have to keep in mind, this game might have looked even a little bit different, or maybe you'd have to rely on him so much to make plays with his feet or with his arm if you had Christian McCaffrey at running back. That's an ultimate weapon that you were down in this game and heading on the road to play a pretty good Dallas Cowboys team as they got the victory. Because even when you look at the halftime, what was it, 14-13, Carolina had the lead, and then got eviscerated 20-0 in the third quarter. It was just off to the races. Where the Cowboys looked, you know, from start to finish, really the better overall football team. But you're right. I like what I've seen out of Sam Darnold, and this is basically a free year for the Carolina Panthers to evaluate their quarterback to see if they have a franchise guy, or is it somebody who have to go out and, you know, spend more capital on to get a free agent, or spend draft capital moving up in the draft to try to get the quarterback of the future. I like the start the Sam Darnold season here. Let's see how he continues, because they're 3-1 still with this loss to the Dallas Cowboys. Again, Cowboys look like a very formidable opponent here through the quarter pole of the NFL season. But, hey, you know what the perfect tonic is for, hey, we didn't get this win, didn't play all that well. Let's play one of the worst defenses in the NFL next week. Oh, yeah, Kevin, can you tell me who the Carolina Panthers play, or do you know who the Carolina Panthers play next week?
Go Birds. Fletcher Cox wakes up next week. Let's hope. Boy, oh, boy, Birds Twitter not happy with old Fletcher Cox. I'll tell you that. Let's talk a little Monday Night Football here. Chargers, Raiders, 3-0 Vegas, 2-1 L.A., totals 51.5. The Chargers at home, Donnie. Laying a field goal.
Hey, I love the Chargers. I like the way they're looking. Justin Herbert's going to be is a star. If he's not a star now, he is going to be a future superstar. Can make every single throw. But I seem to think like everybody's looking at this football game as it's like a foregone conclusion that the Chargers already have this game wrapped up, as if the Vegas Raiders having come out this season and played really good football, both offense and defense here. Kenneth Murray gets an injury in practice. This isn't a great defense by any stretch here for the Los Angeles Chargers. And quite frankly, when you see the home field advantage for the Rams, who are basically LA's team, who's to say in this one that even though it's a Monday night football game on the road, that the Vegas Raiders will have more fans in the building than the Chargers do? They did in LA when they were at that little soccer stadium. Every game the Chargers played was a road game. Now the Chargers are better, so maybe they have a little bit more of the fan influence. But I have to tell you, I'm looking for at least a 50-50 split, if not more, for the Raiders fans. So who actually has the home field advantage? But also taking a look from a Raiders perspective, that offense is good. They'll be able to move the football. If I'm looking, per se, for an upset, if you got the 3.5 early in the week, that's sensational. But if we're taking a look at the threes right now, the 51 points, I don't see a defensive effort on both sides in this that's going to keep these offenses down. Because as I said, Derek Carr is a really good quarterback. Justin Herbert is a really good quarterback. There are weapons on both sides of the field. And also keep in mind, it's in a dome. Perfect, fast conditions here, Kevin. We should get some points.
I absolutely think there will be points in this one. I think the side is difficult here. The Chargers are coming off of a phenomenal win against the Kansas City Chiefs on the road as well. Now, they've had a little bit more time to digest that, no doubt. Vegas enters 3-0, and at times you sit thinking, is that team 4-0? And listen, I know people say, oh, you can't bet that way, power ratings. Listen, at the end of the day, you got to fact, like, oh, Raiders a 4-0 football team there? I'm not so sure. But again, are the Chargers going to be able to put result to result together? We've talked about this. Why'd they lose to Dallas? Well, because of who they are as an organization. They weren't going to win that game. That's just not the way things work. But I do look at this total, and I do think there's a world where this game can get very, very high scoring. Not just the 51.5, but we talk about alt totals at times here in this game. Go ahead, chase some plus money. 56.5 plus 140, right? 210. For over 60.5, both these teams get the 30. Is anybody surprised if both these teams are near the 30 mark? I would not be. As you said, Donnie, the Chargers overall right now, their defense not playing outrageous football, and the Vegas Raiders defense is not a group that I would be fearful of either. When we go through the player props here, it also lines up for overs. And I know I'll be looking at the quarterbacks, Herbert, Carr, for some big days. Their yardage numbers to me are high, but I'm not sure they're high enough. Where have you been looking here, props-wise?
Yeah, there's a couple interesting ones, too. How about the FanDuel odds boost here to take a look at these props in just a second? Derek Carr to have one or more passing touchdown in each half versus the Chargers is boosted up to plus 200. That has my eye. But if we're looking overall from a pay, and I promise I wouldn't do this, Kevin. I really did to myself. I figure I have Miles Sanders got it midweek. They're going to give him the football 15 times. He's going to plow over the worst rushing defense in the NFL. Well, you have to get the football to try to actually go over your prop numbers. But here I am today on a Monday morning, not learning my lesson one bit. And that's why I'm looking at Austin Eckler with that same number, Kevin, 55.5 that I had with Miles Sanders. So I want to jump right back into a running back prop in a game that we said both of these quarterbacks should be very effective here. But I'm still going to look at Austin Eckler's 55.5 to hit that over rushing prop in this game. And also an anytime touchdown for myself, Kevin, in this game. You know where I'm going? Wide receiver Hunter Renfrow at plus 240 for the Vegas Raiders. And I do have one more that I'm looking at on these match specials, which are sensational on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Really open your eyes. Listen to me, you know, start about like a minus 110, minus 120, and build all the way up to around 20-1. The ones I had so yesterday, much fun cheering for, are the touchdown props. I just talked to you about the Derek Carr one. If you expand it to both sides, Kevin, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, to each throw a touchdown or more in the first half and a touchdown or more in the second half, that pays off at plus 490. I love that wager.
That is a really, really nice one. There's also another one, plus 360, both QBs to throw for 300 or more yards. You have to look at that payday there. Plus 360, Herbert's number is 295.5. You're talking about an additional 4 yards. Derek Carr, 281.5, an additional 20 yards. Now, yardage props can always be close, but plus 360 is a heck of a payday for something like that. Donnie mentions rushing props here, and Eckler's always going to be fascinating. You'll notice right now, though, we don't have any Vegas Raiders running backs numbers. I'm anxiously awaiting them. This Chargers run defense has been very vulnerable. Very, very. Antonio Gibson, 90 yards on the ground. Dallas up and down the field they went, whether it was Tony Pollard or Ezekiel Elliott. And then CEH found his rhythm against this team for a 100-yard rushing day of his own against the Chargers. I need someone to be out, though. Like, if it's Jacobs and Barber and Drake, it's going to make things obviously very, very difficult there. But if we can kind of hone in on a back, I do think Vegas will be running the football. It also could create opportunities for live player props if we can tell whose backfield this is. In Play Sports tonight, myself and Donnie, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Sports Grid Radio, will, of course, be breaking this game down in its entirety. Donnie, also here, you talk about some of the receivers. Mike Williams has just been overwhelming to start the year, but I'm just not sure I can bet Mike Williams at the same numbers as Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen is just a guy, like, we're talking about the Atlanta Falcons. Whoever wants to bet the Atlanta Falcons, whoever wants to bet Big Ben, Keenan Allen's the opposite of that. I love having Keenan Allen props. I'm always in the mix. He's such a good talent at the wide receiver position.
And a target monster, and that's what you like. So when you take a look at the Mike Williams there on the props, what, receiving yards over 77.5, receptions 6.5, it does seem a little bit much, but I would rather actually go with the anytime touchdown at plus 105. He is a monster red zone target. If you think Justin Herbert's going to throw 2 touchdowns or 3 touchdown passes, he's probably going to get 2 or 3 targets in the red zone, which should equate to a touchdown, as opposed to looking at him for the full length of the field, Kevin. I'm just going to look at him in the red zone here. I think he gets in the end zone.
It should be a good one. Also, just one other pass and prop to take a look at. Did you start and move? Herbert, longest pass, 37.5. Vegas has given up something of that length all 3 games. Herbert's thrown for over it in his last 2 games. Just a little interesting nugget there. Little fun prop to root on. All right, up next here, Donnie closes out the early line and gets you set for the morning after. Keep it locked right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day for the early line right here on the Sports Grid Network on a Monday, playing armchair quarterback with myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Wolf, setting the table from 7 to 9, only to hand it off to the morning after for the next 3 hours right here on the grid. And speaking of handing it off yesterday, a couple interesting doings here in the NFL. The Ravens go for the rushing mark yesterday when the game was in hand by, instead of taking knees at the end of the football game, rolling out Lamar Jackson to pick up 5 yards to keep their 100 yards or more streak intact on the ground. Faux pas? Maybe, maybe so. At the end of the football game, you went up to the podium and they said, "Hey, Coach Harbaugh, What are you thinking there? Well, I think it's very important here to extend this streak, and I think it's something that the guys really are interested in, and I wanted to take care of them to make sure that we kept that yardage streak intact. Lamar Jackson got to the podium. They asked him the same question. Said, I don't think about that at all. I just want to win football games. That is the sign of a really good young quarterback that gets it. It's all about the W. So handing that off over to the rest of the young kids in the NFL playing quarterback, you saw last night, Tom Brady winning in Foxborough. No question about it. Tom Brady's won a lot of games in Foxborough. Needed some late game heroics from a upright to give them the victory, as the Patriots were hoping to sneak this one out, but the Buccaneers got the victory. So that handing off of the torch to the young kids in the NFL, Trey Lance, now starting for the San Francisco 49ers due to the injury of Jimmy Garoppolo. Justin Fields, now starting due to the injury of Andy Dalton. How about Mac Jones taking over for one Tom Brady in New England, and also Zach Wilson for the New York Jets? And you take a look at those quarterbacks yesterday, Justin Fields picking up his first NFL victory. How about Zach Wilson picking up his first NFL victory yesterday as well? So it looks like the NFL is in good shape here with young quarterbacks of how they can survive. Probably the most intriguing out of all of those, Trey Lance, who looks like he might be the starting quarterback for the rest of the way for the 49ers, depending on how he plays. Interesting times here in the NFL, but you know what? It is time to hand it over to the morning after. Ben Stevens and the crew have you covered right here on the grid from 9 to 12 for the early line. We'll see you once again tomorrow. From Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.